Okay, so we're gonna start. We're gonna start with the first principle. Okay, so what is the first principle? So the first principle of the Rambam. We're doing the philosophy of the Rambam, the 13 principles. So we did some introductory stuff till you came, and once you're here, we're gonna start. Okay, so
you can't miss anything.
So the first principle.
We're not gonna review any of the introductions.
Yeah, the first principle is. Ani mamin b'emunah shleima, right? I believe with complete faith. She'abori yisparach shema. Oh, hello. So I believe with the complete faith that the vaccine is coming. That's the first principle of faith. Ani mamin b'emunah shleima. So she'abori yisparach shema hu borei umanig l'chol habruim. So what does that mean? How would you explain the first principle of faith? Shehu borei. Ani mamin b'emunah shleima shehu borei umanig l'chol habruim v'hu levado asa. So how would you explain? What's that first principle of faith? Yeah, what would you say?
He's the creator, but he's also the mashgiach. He's actively involved.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Right. So he created everything. And v'hu levado asa osa v'yasa l'chol ha'masim. So he makes everything. He's actively involved. What's interesting is that Yigdal, right? We know that Yigdal is basically the 13 principles of faith, written by some unknown person. So what's Yigdal? What's the first line of Yigdal? Yigdal lokim chai v'yishtabach nimtza v'ines. So what God is, Yigdal lokim chai v'yishtabach, he's praised. Nimtza v'ines al mitzi usa. So what does that mean? Nimtza v'ines al mitzi usa. What do you think that means?
Ain't ace meaning there's no time frame to his existence?
Right. So he's always existed.
He's always existed.
So is that the same as the when we say that the Animamis?
Yeah, that Yigdal is a song, so it's
poetic license. By the way, that's also that line of the 13 Animamis, that's not the Rambam's explanation of the 13 principles of faith in his commentary Maseches Sanhedrin, that's much broader than the line in Yigdal or than this Ani Mamin line. It's unknown who wrote that also. But what does the first line of Yigdal sort of tell us? Yigdal, right? I actually translate this here. Yigdal, it's a great as a living God and praise he exists, yet existence has no time. So what does that point to? God's what?
Omnipotence.
It sounds good. No, I think it's more than that. It's his eternity. I think it's eternity, right? I think Yigdal tells that God is eternal, right? There's no time to his existence.
Omnipresence is just because he's everywhere, here, there, everywhere.
That's more imminent, I think. So in other words, I'm just pointing out that Yigdal is about he's eternal. And the Ani Mamin is, I believe with perfect faith that God is the creator and he created and he makes all things. And he's seeming like he's still involved. So with that as a background, that's what we sing and that's what some people say at the end of davening. What does the actual first principle say? So if you look in I have it here. This is the Rambam's commentary in Maseches Sanhedrin. That in the 10th parak, that's where he sort of lists all these things. So the Rambam says that the...
Is there an animamid of eternity, about eternity, or that doesn't...
No, so my point is, I think that that's tied to that. In other words, if you're... So we have to see how they're tied together. We have to see how is this... The first principle of faith, according to Yigdal, is that God is eternal. Meaning what? How would that relate to God creating everything?
He can't be a manik if he has some...
There's some limit to his time. Well, for everything, I think.
The Greeks,
these
gods that were involved, you know.
But it's not just simply a leader.
Demonic doesn't mean he's always going to be where all his was.
Okay, so I'm saying, but the notion it may not be it by itself, but maybe the thing that he created everything, and that he's still there, in a sense, that means that he is eternal, I think. Maybe. Okay. But the Rambam says a little more.
Correct.
So it's right. So Yigdal is a shortened form to that. If you look though the Rambam's commentary, so he says Hayesod Harishon Mitzius Habori Yishtabach. So the first foundational principle is the existence of God. There's a being that he has the highest perfection of existence. So God is perfect, whatever that means. We don't know what that means, but he's perfect. Okay, Vahu Ilas Mitzius Kol Hanimtzaim. He is the cause of all existing things. Uvo Kiyum Mitzius'am, and through him, and in him they exist. Umimenu Nimshach Lahem Akiyuv, and from him emanates their continued existence. So he created these things, but they also come from him. Okay. The ilu nita'er siluk mitziuso, and if somehow we can envision that God will remove his existence, ki az batla mitzius kol nimtza, velo yisharu kaimim bimtziut, and if we remove God from the picture, then all of his creations will be removed. Okay. Right, ve'ilu nita'er silu kol anim sim zulaso. But if we get rid of everything besides God, az lo tibatel mitzius yisraelah. But then God will always exist. In other words, if God no longer exists, all his creations no longer exist. But if creations no longer exist, God will still exist. V'lo techsar, there won't be anything missing. Ki hu yitaleh bilti zakup imtziotel zulato. God does not need anything for his existence. Ve'cho ma'ash zulaso min hasichlim. Kolomar hamalachim vegarmei hagagalim umashel matamihen hakol zakup imtziyoso elav. And anything else that's outside of him, the intelligences, meaning the angels and the different spheres, they all need God. Vezei yisod harishon shemor elav dibor anochei shemokecha. I mean, your God who created everything. So this, what does this say more than what we just said about Yigdal and that short Adi Mami? What does this add? Any thoughts? Is there anything more that's added from this line here? From this, I guess, first principle that we didn't say.
Did we talk about it, that if God didn't exist, then the world would no longer?
No. So we didn't. Right. So how is that different? Right. So it's sort of like, and we're going to see, the Rav Moran Vuchim is going to say a little bit later that, or I think we're first. It's like if I create this chair, and I am no longer existing, the chair is still there. Right, so that's sort of like the difference that this idea that it might. I think it's like elaborating what it means that Hashem is boreu manhig. Right, so what does manhig mean? Manhig means that you're leading it. You're actively involved. That means if you're no longer involved, then the thing itself is no longer involved. I think that, and then everything comes from God. There was a. You know, the Rambam's a big follower of Aristotle. So Aristotelian thinking is that basically that objects are naturally... Now again, this is thousands of years ago. So Aristotle believed that things are naturally at rest unless... And basically you need some kind of force or energy on that object. And so therefore once the force is removed, the object then is at rest. So the world is in constant motion. How is the world in constant motion? Because you need what? Continuous energy that's being put into the system. So that's, we believe that that's, or at least back then, they believed that that was God. What do we say about that now?
The opposite.
Well, what do we say now?
Well, what are we as...
I'm saying, like, this is the Rambam is basically saying that, isn't that what the Rambam is saying? The Rambam's saying... That God was sort of this energy, that if you take God away from the picture, right? Aristotle said that you have energy, and the energy is needed like this to keep things in motion. If not, then things would just be at rest. And therefore what? You have God who is Borei Umanhig. He's always there. And like what the Rambam writes, if he would no longer exist, then just... The fact that the solar system operates, it means that God is behind the scenes. That's presumably what he would say, right? Well, but what do we say scientifically now? Is that what we say?
In terms of like of gravity and just like
yeah.
And the universe in general, Right, there's always a debate as like the laws of physics, like, you know, did was the universe created with the laws of physics, or were they, you know, the actual laws of physics created? Of course, like, we believe they were, but the
right.
But a lot of the modern physics thinking, I think, is that, like, you know, trying to, you know, to drum down to that, you know, theory of everything, or that one universal, you know, law essentially that governs, you know, motion of everything, and therefore all the movement of the galaxies and planets.
It wasn't the whole Big Bang theory, is that there was a tremendous, powerful
something.
Right.
Even the Ramban talks about, like, the size of the mustard seed, right?
Yeah.
And all the energy is in there, and the explosion, it's constantly expanding now.
Right.
There's no energy going to it.
Right. In other words, it could be that there might have been a difference, I think, in medieval times versus modern times, is sort of God's involvement. He's always involved.
Something is perpetuating.
There's some force that's perpetuating it constantly.
As opposed to just entropy.
He created the Big Bang or whatever, the first Big Bang and the first, you know, explosion of energy, or however we understand that. And then there are rules. And then through that, the world, through the laws of nature, the world continues on its own.
He made the rules.
100%.
So it would work out.
Right, so I'm saying. So that's what's interesting. When we say, for example, HaMachadesh Betuva B'choyim Tovim Ma'asev Reishis, what do we say? That Hashem constantly is involved. So how do we sort of understand that? That Hashem is constantly involved. He's constantly renewing. How do we understand that in today's...
Who came up with that phrase, by the way?
That's fine. Yeah, that's early. I'm saying, was that like...
Well, right.
Well, there is, like, you know, there's a well-known, you know, concept just that, you know, God's will, like that if, you know, if Hashem would no longer will existence... You know, constantly, then nothing would exist.
Yeah, no, right.
So,
the law of nature, right? You could say that the laws of nature is something that was created by God, and that He wills that the laws of nature should continually work. And if it doesn't, it stops working, then the whole world will cease to exist.
The way we understand is that God is constantly attending to it, and then if he pulls back,
right,
then what? There's nothingness anymore, or that something falls apart.
I don't know.
Because the concept with the chair.
No, the chair is not a good example. The chair is not a good example. So that God is different than that.
Right.
We're saying that if God pulls out his.
I'm saying
his will.
His will.
Right? Well, if God didn't will the chair to be there,
the existence goes away.
Then the other things.
It's different than, you know, I'm saying that the laws of nature are different than God's will for existence to continue, right? Like if God would just, you know, would decide.
But generally speaking, they're the same. They don't have.
I don't
to
think
the
so.
Same.
Yeah. No. Like, I don't think so, because you could imagine that. Well, I guess you could
God wills the world to win, and the God wills the world to run in a natural way.
Well, right, but sometimes the world. Doesn't
run.
Right. Okay. Right. So let's read a few more sources here. So the Rabbah says in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Perek Beis Halacha Yibud, he said there are three different types of creations. But he said when Hashem created existence, there are three types of creations. Kol ba'shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'lavo dechlach lishol shachalakim. Everything that Hashem created in this world is divided into three parts. Mehen brui shein mechubar migola v'tzura. There are certain creations that have matter and form. V'heim havim v'nifsadim tamid. They're transitory. At some point they're perishable. They have a finite life form. Kemo gufo sa'ada v'beheva v'tzbachim v'matachos. Like us, humans, animals, plants, metals. So they have a certain lifespan. And they're constantly, their matter and form, and they constantly decompose. At some point, we only have a certain lifetime. V'hen bruim shem mechubar migolam v'tzura aval eda mishtari miguf laguf mitzura letzura kamor rishodim. And there are other creations that also have a matter and form, But at least according to the Rambam, I think scientists nowadays may disagree, but they don't change. They're like the first things, the first category, El Tzuras Kavu La'olam B'Golbam. But their forms remain fixed forever in their form. The Eda Mishtan Koela, they don't change like the first category. Behem Hagagalim Kochim Shohev. These are the spheres of the heavenly bodies. So obviously, I think modern science would say at some point, what, right? Black hole, at some point, they'll cease. But the Rambam says they're fundamentally different. The Eda Golem Kilishar Golem. And then he says, "Ve'enam golam kishar golam lo tzuras kishar tzurasu." So their matter and their form is different. And then the final category, "Mehem bruim tzura below golam klal." Then there are other creations that are forms without matter at all. Ve'em hamalachim, they are angels. Shemalachim enam gufu gvia elo tzuras nifrasu mazu. Because what are angels? They don't have bodies, but they are simply form. They are these separate intellects. So by the way, people say, oh, the Rambam doesn't believe in angels. The Rambam believes in angels. The Rambam just believes that we can't see angels, that angels don't have matter, that they can't physically manifest themselves. They're forms. They exist. The Rambam believes they exist. But anyway, so these are the things that God created, these three different categories. Now, Rav Hirsch explained this idea that I mentioned about the chair. It says, Vayar Hashem ki tov, and God saw that it was good. Not only the coming into existence of things, but also their continuous in existence is directly dependent on the free will of God and on His satisfaction. Once the art of a human inventor has created something, in most cases, its continued existence gets beyond his control. He has created it, but it goes on existing by itself. Mortals have the power to make new things. They can unchange forces. They can combine and unite them. But only too often they lack the power to pass to the work that they, I'm not sure what that means, to something, the work they themselves have created. By typo, the creation surpasses and overwhelms the creator. He is no longer master. That means to master the work they themselves created. The creation surpasses and overwhelms the creator, for he is no longer master over his own work. You create something, and then it can take over. You're not in charge anymore. Not so God in His world. The detail, the whole, have not only come into existence through His mighty will, but it continues in existence only because His insight finds its continuance good. So we believe that God continues everything. We're debating here what does it mean, His will. Does it mean He just places these scientific principles in motion and He can remove it at any time, remove His will at any time? He certainly created the beginning and He created the whole structure through which everything functions. But it means is that all is dependent upon Him and it emanates from Him. And now we can understand how God is also eternal. That God is, right? God is eternal. So He's beyond time, beyond space. If some of His creations would cease to exist, God would continue to exist because He's eternal. That's how God's eternal nature is related to Him, how He created everything. Because He creates everything, everything depends on Him, He's always there. And if they no longer exist, God is still in His existence. So I want to finish with this the debate between the rationalists and the mystics about, can God create a rock that He can't lift? Whenever you talk about that God create the world, you have to ask that God, could God create a rock that He cannot lift? So what's the answer?
Yes.
No.
No. Good. You're a mystic, you're a rationalist. Okay, good. So, can God create a rock that He can't lift? So, the Rabbi Bar Avuchim addresses this question. And he says, the impossible has a stable nature, one whose stability is constant and is not made by a maker. It is impossible to change it in any way. Okay? So, basically, if something's impossible, then you can't make... You can't make something that's impossible. Hence, the power over the maker of the impossible is not attributed to the deity. You can't create something that's impossible. That's not logical. So God cannot create something that's impossible. This is a point about which none of the men of speculation differs in any way. Likewise, should God bring into existence someone like Himself? Can God create someone like Himself? He can't do that either. That's a lack of perfection. It's not only can God create a rock that He can't lift. Can God create another God? Can God create a second God? No, that's not who. Then that would mean that God's no longer perfect. Can God annihilate? Can God kill Himself? Can God destroy Himself? Right? Oh. Or should, could God become a body? Or to change?
You could ask it from the other way also.
Wait a minute.
If God can't create another God like himself, then is he really perfect?
Okay, so what he says, all these things, so all these things belong to the class of the impossible, and the power to do any of these things cannot be attributed to God. In other words, based on, wait, I'm saying, so the Ram will say, but based on who God is, okay, that God is perfect, and so any type of creation that would result in God not being perfect, God cannot do, because it limits his perfection. That's the way the Ram understands this. In other words,
to me, it doesn't sound like the Ram is saying it's saying you can't attribute it to God. It's not okay. A yes or no.
No, he said because God would do, no, because in other words, God is bound by the laws of logic to some extent. What he's saying is God is bound by the laws of logic, and it's not.
Didn't God create the laws of logic?
I understand. He created a lot. I'm saying, but he created a world. He has a system where it's, well, he's going to act logically. And God's perfection is that is that for God to create an imperfect God, so that he wouldn't do, because that's a lack in his perfection. So that he wouldn't do anything that would God would not do anything that would result in his lack of perfection. That's why the Ram says. Therefore, the Ram would say he cannot create a rock that he can't lift, because that would result in a lack of perfection. In other words, that's impossible. So it's not a failure in God. It's not a weakness in God. There's nothing that could be created that would result in an imperfection attributed to God.
It's a strength in God.
What?
It's a strength in God.
Right.
Okay.
But in any case, Rav Nachman of Breslov has a different view, that he says, he mentions that it says in their philosopher's book, is it possible that a triangle be a rectangle? Our master said, I believe that God could make a rectangular triangle. For the ways of God are hidden from us. He is omnipotent. He's perfect. And no deed is beyond him. But this approach sort of says that God basically decides, logic, what you're saying, that logic was created by God. Just because we can't understand it, God can do whatever he wants. Now, won't this in our minds limit his perfections? Yes.
In our minds.
So I understand.
It's a matter of perception. Like, right. We're in an imperfect world. Like, we have...
Is that so mystical?
It's Sadi Barallo.
I don't know. I never thought of it.
Yeah. But I'm saying that's
a limit on us, not a limit on God.
I understand.
We can't
understand. Doesn't Barallo agree to that?
What?
I don't understand how the Rambam doesn't agree to that.
You don't understand how the Rambam doesn't agree?
Yes, the answer is yes, God can create a rock that he can't lift. I don't understand how that works.
No,
because I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Yeah. If you want to make the Rambam...